Now, let's talk bees. We have been joined by another Andrew. We're joined by Andrew Corey, who's a passionate beekeeper. Andrew, you've got 2,500 hives. You employ 5 beekeepers, so a significant sized operation. You've been living with varroa mite for about 10 years or so. Has it changed the face of the industry for you?
Yes, it's been interesting because probably a good third of the people involved in the honey industry now are new in the industry and always live with varroa, so they know no different. But from the time when I started 35 years ago, the hives are certainly a lot stronger. And when varroa first came, everybody thought it was going to be doom and gloom, and a lot of people exit the industry. But really, it's brought us in line with probably a lot of the other horticultural industries, like your apples and maybe your kiwi fruit, when you've got to get certain things done on time. Whereas bees, it's been a bit wavy when you got things done and never get too uptight. But it's just got us on a more commercial footing. And there's probably a lot more threats out there to the bees and actual varroa at the moment, you know. And we were very lucky when the varroa came in that the chemicals and the strips that we used were available and were quick to be certified New Zealand, so we had access to them straight away. So we've probably lost, in the first couple of years, we probably lost 25% of our hives with varroa, but now I'd say we'd only lose, you know, down to a manageable, you know, 5 to 10%, we'd probably lose more to wasps.
Interesting, because we've got, of course, got wasps in Tasmania. And I'm particularly interested in a project that you have on a Pacific island called Niue, and it's to do with creating a bee, I guess, a repository of genes. Tell us about how this came and how you came to be on an island, a remote island in the Pacific.
Well, I've been involved with Niue Island, which, for those of you who don't know where Niue is, go up to Samoa and turn right for about 300 k's and there's Niue. And it's only 60 k's round, and we're a small self-governing country. We have a member. We have 12 members of parliament, and we have a premier, so we're a self-governing state, and we're a New Zealand dependency, so we get a lot of aid from New Zealand to run. And with the 1,200 people that are on the island, 450 are employed in the local government. So we have sort of a high structure like that, but a lot of the high government employees, we have an international airport, so we've got to have 2 fire crews, and we've got to have 16 policemen and all that to run. So it's sort of a fantasy island out of control, more or less. But
you have bees on this island, and a special Italian bee.
Yes, well, I went up there 16 years ago, and it was set up in 1967, and it was very successful, and it produced a lot of honey, and it was run by a New Zealand beekeeper, and he died an alcohol-related death, which is quite a problem in the Pacific.
Tell me about these Italian bees, because they are very unique and you're trying to protect them from the threat of varroa.
Yes, well, we found them and they'd been abandoned for about 30 years. And even then, 16 years, I knew they were special and they needed protecting. So they're the last really pure strain of Italians that are varroa free and free from all major diseases. In the Pacific, the development of the beekeeping industry has been the colonial power. Fiji was settled by the British, and they've got the horrible little British bee, and Samoa was settled by the Germans, and they've got, of course, the German bee, and they're just as mean as. You don't want to touch those. So we're very lucky that Niue was settled under New Zealand, under the island territories, and we've got Italian stock there. So they're beautiful to handle.
But why are they so important, given the threat of varroa?
Well, it's not just varroa worldwide. America lost 42% of its bees last year, and that was coming out of the summer. So world bee stocks are declining. So these ones in Niue, because they're the last ones left, we want to set up what they've done in Iceland with a seed bank, where they've got all the seeds stored in a vault for if something tragic happens. And Niue is really the only country left that can be done, because you've got Kangaroo Island, which you've got some special bees there, but you haven't got any border controls. As I understand, you can just walk off the boat, and there's no. Whereas in Niue, we have proper customs and quarantine and all that kind of thing. So these are just absolutely in the right place at the right time.
Andrew, you're resorting to unusual tactics to get this passionate bee gene bank established. You're going to crowdsourcing on an Indiegogo site. So you're going to get the money to make this bee bank?
We hope so. The beekeeping side on a commercial side up there is going well. We can pay the bills. And the gene stock and the long-term bee bank was always going to be a joint venture with the Niuean government. We sort of, it's a very unusual relationship. We have total, we bought the honey industry off the Niue government, but they're a Niuean asset, if you can imagine, and we've been lucky enough to look after them and get them, keep them through a cyclone and everything like that. So we, even though we are owners, we feel that we're more got a lease on them, a tender on them. So we're going through this crowdsourcing, hoping to raise funds, and it hasn't really kicked off yet because we haven't had the publicity, but it's certainly brought out a lot of international agencies. Foreign Affairs and PIDIC, which is strong in the Pacific, are very keen on the operation. So I don't know whether we're going to get it fully out of the crowdsourcing, but I think we're definitely going to get it from other aid agencies around to do the project.
I can understand with seeds because they're a self-contained, you know, genetic bundle. How do you get bee genes around the world?
Oh, the technology for moving bees around the world is there. New Zealand exports a lot of bees to America in the autumn when our bees are finished here in New Zealand. We're flying a plane load of bees out every second night. So Niue is a classic, the absolutely ideal spot. We've got the isolation, we've got the genetic stock, and the technology's there to move bees around the world, and we've got an international runway. We can take a Hercules and international flight. So all the components there. Whether it's going to be in my lifetime, I don't know. Hope not. We don't have to do it. But if we do, we'd like to, with this crowdfunding and that, get the bees certified ready for export. That's what we're trying to do.
It sounds like an international resource, not a Niue resource, and not a New Zealand resource. Well, it sounds passionate. You do love your bees, and I really...
It has been a lifelong love affair. It has, ever since I started off when I was 19, and that's when I met this character, Andy. And I still love it as much as it is now, and I think it's been a calling. I've been 16 years in the Pacific.